Sam, we haven't got into resuscitation science yet. Explain that for me.
Well, resuscitation science is actually a relatively new area in medicine. In fact, it's celebrating its 50th anniversary now. And it was essentially the discovery, although for, I guess, from the beginning of time, as far as we can see, at least for the last few thousand years that we have history of, people have tried to revive the dead, but usually unsuccessfully. So historically, life was associated with warmth. And so at the time of the Greek physician Galen, people used to, for example, try to heat the dead, either by just heating them in any way they could, and sometimes even using burning excrement on dead bodies, trying to revive them. And essentially, various other measures have been put into effect without success, such as using a bellows in Europe around the 16th, 17th centuries. But it was only essentially about 50, 60 years ago that people realized that we could try to restart the heart after it has stopped. And that eventually led to the idea of CPR and using drugs to try to get a patient who's died to have a blood pressure and try to restart the heart and then shock the heart, as we talked about. And what's incredible is that although we still are not as successful as we'd like to be, we could only revive around, say, 10 to 15% of people who've died in a hospital, bring them back to life again. But at least we have some success, whereas before we had none. And so I think this is a very important field because we have, through resuscitation science, managed to overcome what was thought to always be the impossible, which is to bring people back to life after they have died. And through that, we're able to study what happens not only to the brain, but also to the mind and consciousness in people who have died. And I think it is a growing field, and it is one that will provide answers to some of our deepest philosophical questions. In other words, what happens when we die? You know, what is the nature of the human mind and consciousness, the soul, etc.?
Let's talk a little bit more about the soul, Doctor. What do you think it is?
Well, because of my research in this field, I've had to look back and try to understand at least what people mean by it, because it is a term that's used a lot.
Yes.
In the common language, it's often synonymous with spirit, soul. People use them, and then people talk about things like ghosts. And, you know, it's difficult, really, to know, at least scientifically, what we're talking about. What I have found, at least scholars have found, is that it is thought that early civilizations, say 4,000 or 5,000 years ago at least, seem to have thought that there may be a duplicate of the individual. And this they called the soul. And it may be that they found that this to be the case because of dreams, encountering, for example, deceased relatives in dreams, having various experiences, apparitions of the dead, etc., that they began to think there may be a duplicate or a secondary thing. And then when we go into the Greek civilization, we see that actually gradually with time that the Greek philosophers became interested in essentially what is the human mind, what are the psychological capabilities of human beings, why do we have thoughts, why do we have feelings, why do we have emotions, and where do they come to be, why do we have a sense of ethics and morality. A lot of the questions that we have today were essentially first addressed during that civilization. And at that time, they called this entity the psyche, which was later translated into the soul in English. And so actually, it's interesting because if you go into a room of, say, you know, I would say 1,000 doctors, and you said to them, do you believe in the psyche? They would all say, yes, of course, I believe in the psyche. If you then say to them, do you believe in the soul, or in fact, other people in the public, if you ask them, do you believe in the soul, you'll find that that depends on their religious upbringing. So some will say, yes, of course. Some will say, no. Some will say, I'm not sure. But actually, when we realize, if we go back, the psyche and the soul were essentially the same thing. And in fact, at that time, many of the philosophers believed that the psyche or the soul was something that didn't exist after death. For example, Aristotle believed that the psyche or the soul was a product of the body, and that when the body died, the psyche or the soul also died. Whereas Plato, of course, believed that the psyche or the soul was eternal and was in existence before the body and also continued to exist after death. And so essentially, if we then track through the history of Western philosophy and through scientific models, we see that essentially these two differing views have continued. In other words, Plato's view that the soul or psyche continues after death and Aristotle's view that essentially the soul or psyche is nothing more than bodily processes and therefore it dies after death. And now, today, the more commonly perceived scientific view is that essentially the psyche or the soul is produced by the body, but it actually dies after the body dies as well. So that's essentially what I understand of the term soul, and I think the idea of a ghost and stuff is more sort of cultural, shall we say. I'm not sure what we mean by that, but I think that what is important for us to realize is that the soul is, at least in the true definition of it, is nothing more than the psyche, and it is what we are. And that scientifically, we, of course, don't know which of those views is correct, but there are some scientists on either camp.
Though you've dealt with near-death experiences, there are some doctors and nurses who have been at the bedside of people who have died and not come back, and they have seen the mist leave the body, the ectoplasm just simply poof away. And I find that to be fascinating, Doctor, don't you?
I don't know. What do you mean by that, the ectoplasm?
Well, like the soul. They see something leave the body upon death.
I have to be honest with you, I haven't come across that. And I think that one of the things, for example, that I've been asked many, many times is, you know, there was this report that people who die suddenly weigh 21 grams less than they used to, and it's thought to be that this is related to the soul leaving the body, etc. And I think that's very difficult to, these kind of things are very difficult to prove. I'm sure that there are individuals who, because of their own beliefs, maybe think that way. But actually, as I've tried to point out, what's becoming fascinating for us scientifically is that we don't even know when this moment of death really is, because, as I said, we know that after someone's died, for the first hour or two after they've died, their mind or consciousness hasn't disappeared. And so it's difficult to then say that, you know, something moved away. For example, people commonly say, you know, the last breath is when someone dies and that's when something changes. Well, these are old-fashioned ways of thinking of death, more Victorian-era concepts of life and death, which is that death was a moment. Through resuscitation science, what we realize is that death is no longer a moment, it's just a process, and that we can track it down the first hour or two, and we can determine that the mind or consciousness, or what you may call the psyche or the soul, doesn't seem to become non-existent, doesn't seem to disappear, it seems to still be in existence.